a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
And we're joined in the studio by Adam Curry, who is not wearing shoes. Kia ora, Adam.
Kia ora.
We were just talking about, you know, it's summer is coming up, and as such, people are moving all around the country. And what better way to move around the country than by train, right?
Right.
However, in this part of the country, here in Otsubotsi, you can't get a passenger train that takes you somewhere other than Oamaru.
Unless Ed Sheeran is on, isn't it?
Unless Ed Sheeran is on. But he's not at the moment, unfortunately. But there are still trains that go. Freight trains.
One plus one equals two.
So what is the process of jumping on a train? Not that we've done it, right?
Well, you wait till the train goes around a really tight corner and has to go really slowly to get around the corner.
Yeah.
And first of all, don't do this. I recommend you don't not do this at all. You wait till the train goes really around a really tight corner, and then when it's going really slow, you jump onto the train.
Interesting.
And then you stay on the train.
So, like, while it's moving, you, like, jump on while it's moving?
Yeah, but it's moving very slowly. But yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, and you've done this in Texas.
Well, I
hypothetically,
around North America, we train jumped a lot and travelled around quite a bit via that way. It was a very cheap way, and often they've got wagons, so you can basically jump onto the train and you can get inside a basically empty wagon.
Oh, yeah,
or potentially
cool.
Sometimes on top of like a, you know, on top of the empty wagon, if you imagine that. But of course, they don't like it very much when you do that.
Yeah. So you got caught?
Yeah, we got caught a few times, and usually you can sort of just, you know, run away and they kick you off or something. Once we were in Texas, they really don't like it there, and you know, as you can imagine, because I guess, yeah.
Are there places that they tolerate? Like, were there places that you went and they're like, meh?
Yeah, but between New York and Montreal is a very common route.
Really?
A lot of people do it to get over the border.
Right.
And
surely that's more dodgy.
You'd think. But I think they've got better things to do in Quebec than search empty trains, you know?
Yeah, true.
I don't know. But I don't know. You're probably right about the border, but most people just jump on there and they don't really mind too much.
Yeah.
It's not their problem. But I think also there hasn't been many accidents, there's less people doing it, where I think in America a lot of people do it, and so
right.
They're much more conscious of it.
Yeah. Fair enough. So that's the plan for the summer, is jump on the
train. No, it's not. It's Neve's plan for the summer.
I never said that.
Yeah. Okay,
I was simply just curious.
Yeah.
About the culture, I guess.
Something to think about. I mean, in a sense, it's almost like the way that we reclaim the streets by just, like, walking out to, you know, make the cars stop for you. It's like, if we just take the trains, they're going to have to put on passenger trains for us, right?
Or you could argue that you're undermining the train industry.
Well, yeah, that too. Different ways to slice it.
I'm sure there are lots of people who wouldn't be happy about it.
Yeah, yeah.
My mum, mainly.
Yeah, yeah, that's a big one. Adam, you work for 350. Can we talk about that?
Yep, we can talk about that.
Fantastic. What are you working on at 350 at the moment? So 350 is a climate NGO based in, well, all around the world, but with a branch in New Zealand.
We do a lot of stuff, but at the moment we are largely focused on the Fast Track campaign, which a lot of people have heard about, which is the government's trying to pass a law that will fast track mining on conservation land, mining in blue whale habitat, and it would allow projects that the Supreme Court has overruled to continue, or projects that councils have banned to continue. And so, and that particularly near Dunedin, it means gold mines in Central Otago, and it also means a waste incinerator plant in Waimate. And that's one of the really most concerning ones, yeah, because it's a waste incinerator plant would just spew really toxic pollution into the air, and there's basically no way council can monitor it, because in the UK and in Europe they have some waste incinerator plants,
yep.
But those plants are monitored 24/7, and so whereas here they'll check them once or twice a year, they'll give the incinerator plant the factory a heads up beforehand, and
whoa.
So of course they'll just dial it down, and all the locals will be polluted, so locals are up in arms.
It's Dieselgate all over again.
Exactly, but burning the rubbish is more emissions intensive than coal. So it's worse
really?
For the climate than coal.
Yeah, wow.
And of course then you need to keep feeding it with rubbish, right? And that's why it's near the port, because they need to be importing rubbish
importing
to feed
rubbish.
The machine. You know, at a time where we want to be zero waste.
Of course. Is the idea to just import rubbish from around New Zealand or from overseas as well?
Well, originally they promised it would only be in the South Island, and you know, they said, oh, it's a very good place in Waimate, which is rubbish. It's not near any major centres,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
comparatively.
Yeah.
It's just the only
That's
true. You get Timaru waste, but also they knew it's the only council in the country they could convince to, you know, to allow.
Oh,
border.
Really?
That's the reason it's there. But yeah, I mean, now they've admitted it's going to be from the North Island already, and it's very likely we'll be importing waste from Australia.
Right. Wow.
Or the Pacific.
And this is also one of the things that was like pitched as like a green win, right? Like they were trying to say that this is a like renewable energy type thing, right? Because they're doing waste energy capture from the waste plant, or is it?
They say it's not landfill, right? So your waste that goes to landfill does cause methane emissions, yeah. And the idea is that you've already got the waste, you may as well burn it, may as well do something with it, and it captures it. But it's rubbish. It's never worked before. And same with the carbon capture and storage hasn't worked. Doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's not going to work this time.
Totally. Are you familiar with Copenhill in Copenhagen?
No, tell me.
So it's a similar situation, and it. The environmental economics of it are very different there because of being in Europe. But it's a waste incineration energy generation plant, which is similar to this. But what they did to try and convince the community that it was a good enough thing is they would say, the air coming out of this is going to be so clean that you can live and hang out close by it. And to demonstrate that, they built the plant in such a way that it's an artificial ski slope and it's sort of public park. And so the idea is that you can go and hang out at this waste incineration plant and ski down the hill and hang out with your friends in the park amidst the fumes of the burning waste.
Well, we're not Europe.
Yeah. And so I definitely don't think it would work here. And besides, it's still inherently a pretty bad thing because it still generates that demand for waste, which is...
Exactly. And I think the other thing about that waste, about the fast track in general, is that we're talking about these things that are really toxic for the environment, and they keep saying that it's all about solar energy plants and so on, whereas we know that actually there's heaps of solar energy plants and so many wind farms all across the country fully consented, but it's just not profitable to invest in them.
Yeah.
So that's the problem, is not consenting. It's not helping the environment at all.
It's a finance problem.
It's a finance problem.
Yeah. How do we fix it? What would you do if you wake up and you're Chris Luxon?
Well, I think you'd change the electricity market a lot. Yeah. So you'd... right now, if I buy power from the grid for, more than seven times what... If I've got solar panels on my roof and I sell electricity to the grid, I get paid a seventh of what, they pay to me a lot of the time. And so there's ways you can have what's called two-way tariffs, which basically just says, hey, I've sell price for roughly the same price I buy it, minus transmission costs and so on.
Yeah.
But it just makes that you get a fair pay. And so I'm more likely to put solar panels in my house. When I'm not using it, go back to the grid and I get paid a fair share for it. So the government can do that. And of course, the reason that electricity companies aren't building generation is because they have to give big money to their shareholders, and for every $1 they build solar or wind, they spend $6 in to their shareholders, and of course the biggest shareholder is the government.
True.
So that's how we don't have a capital gains tax, because we can fund it all from the profits from the share from the energy companies funding our economy. And so Treasury loves it because there's a massive amount of money going in the government coffers, but it's really come down to our power prices at the end of the day. It's taken from poor households and it's taken from the climate.
Yeah. Cones, any thoughts? That's a thumbs up from
big thumbs up from
Hannah Cones.
If I was Christopher Luxon, I'd probably rub my hair a little.
Wait, what was that?
Hannah said, if I was Christopher Luxon, I'd probably rub my head a little.
Yeah, fair
it's
enough.
Shiny.
I'd be the same. I've always wondered what that would feel like. You must have met Christopher Luxon a few times.
Did you see that video of that guy flicking him?
You've got something on your shirt trick?
Yeah.
Classic. Wish that could have been me.
But I do think it's good that, our politicians are so accessible and approachable to people. And
totally.
That way.
Totally, totally. Hey, the US election is happening very soon. Who's your pick?
I wonder.
You go.
No.
I was going to say that it was a fabulous video from Bernie Sanders, I thought, today about... a lot of people...
Sanders not running for president.
Not running for president, but there was a fantastic video from Bernie Sanders about he was arguing that people who are absolutely horrified at what Harris has done on Gaza should vote for her anyway because of how much better she is than Trump, which is a basic argument, but it was put in a very convincing way.
Yeah.
And a lot of my friends I know in America are refusing to vote for Harris or Trump because of what Harris has done in Israel.
Yeah.
I
think that's...
It's worse than Trump, right?
Fair, but it's still a vote not for Harris is a vote for Trump.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, watch this space, I guess. It's next week, right?
I'm going to try and be away from media cycles wherever I am.
So
as far into the bush as possible.
So fair. Adam, you gave me a song to play. Tell us about it.
Oh, yes. This song is by Ewan McAllen, and it's a song about reclaiming the street and expanding the public commons. And I thought it's quite accurate right now, because the government is trying to privatise TVNZ. They're trying to privatise Kiwi Bank, cut funding for libraries. All these commons that we share are really the fabric that knit our societies together and keep us together, instead of it's all individual me versus you competing for individual goods. And so this song's about reclaiming the street, reclaiming our public spaces, and expanding the commons that we share and the bonds that we hold with each other.
Beautiful. You're listening to Sustainable Sounds on Radio 1, 91 FM.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more at r1.co.nz or wherever quality content is found.